You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Now, it's no secret that Britain is a nation of pet lovers. In many homes, they're treated like members of the family. So much so, many families are pampering their poochies and other companions by keeping the temperature of the home at 20 degrees to leave their pets cosy, even when they're not there. Something which could be causing high heating bills for pet owners. Now, should we worry about keeping our homes so warm? And what other things are we doing to pamper our pets? Well, I'm joined now by naturalist, TV personality, and of course, an animal lover, Chris Packham, and also from Eon, who sponsored the research. We are joined by Belinda Moore. Hello to you both.
Hi.
Hello.
Good morning.
Chris, are we really as potty about our pets as people think we are in this country?
I'm rather pleased to say that we are. We love our companion animals, genuinely love our companion animals, and I think that's a good thing. We have a responsibility to make sure that they're happy and healthy, and as a consequence of that, we need to keep them comfortable. I'm not surprised that 72% of people leave their heating on. I'm part of that guilty community. I've done that for my dogs as well, particularly when they got older in life. Then we've got to remember that they're not the wild progenitors. You know, my dog is not the wolf that it was 17,000 years ago. It doesn't have that very thick coat which can keep it warm at minus 30 degrees centigrade. It's got a much thinner coat. Cats the same. You know, they've been domesticated from wild cats, which do have thicker, better waterproofed coats. And so it depends on the breed. There's no doubt about that. Some are more roughy-tufty than others. And it depends on the age and personality of your pet. But yeah, they do need a bit of pampering. There's no doubt about that.
Is there any harm in doing that, do you think?
Well, of course, you've got to think about it both ways. When it comes to food, we've got to be very careful. Some people do pamper their pets by giving them the wrong thing. And I think we've got to be quite strict about their diet. But equally, you know, when it comes to them resting and finding a warm spot, we're making a lot of the decisions for them. So we bring them into a room. Is it the room that they would choose naturally to be in? Not if there's a draft coming in under the door, because they, in the wild, they wouldn't choose a drafty spot to rest. No animal does. So one of the first things that you can do is get down and, you know, be in their world, put your, you know, your hands and feet in their paws and see what it's like down there on the floor. And if there are drafts, then block them up. And that's the first step you can take when it comes to energy management within the home. Because as you've said, you know, we are heating our homes to 20 degrees C, sometimes the entire house just for one pet. And this is costing us money. And also, of course, from my point of view, I have concerns about environmental sustainability. And that's not a good thing. We should be maximising the efficacy of our energy use. So we've got to think, you know, there's a bigger picture than just how cosy your pet is.
I've done this thing. I'm not allowed to have dogs where I live. They're not permitted. And you can have cats, but I have a thing about if I have a cat, I would love it to get out and enjoy the outside and not be a house cat. It's just a personal thing. But my friend has too many dachshunds. And I absolutely adore going to see them, but they've got very, very thin coats. And actually, they run, they go out most days a week with one of these puppy walkers and run around. But they wear jumpers when they're out in the cold weather.
Yeah, no, they do have very thin coats. I mean, obviously, when they're active and young, you know, they're burning up lots of energy, they're generating body heat, that's fine. But if they're an older dog that's just more pedestrian, then they do get cold. For the first time, a couple of weeks ago, I saw my Scratchy, my poodle, he was shivering in the snow. So I wrapped him up in my puffer jacket and took him back straight away. But this was because I'd never seen that before. This is because he's an older gent now. There's no doubt about that. But look, there's lots of things that we can do to satisfy all of the requirements here, you know, keeping money in our wallet, keeping the environment, sustainable, and also keeping our pets comfortable. And Eon have got these remarkable things, smart meters, Tardo smart thermostats, which are operated remotely, where you can control the temperature of your house, individual rooms of your house, to make sure that you're not wasting energy.
So that's what I was thinking that, Belinda, because I thought you must be standing rubbing your hands together. Oh,
No, I mean, as Chris said, really what we want people to do is be very aware of how much energy they use. We want to help them to know how to save energy, ultimately save money. As Chris said, installing a smart meter really helps you understand when you're using your energy and how you're using your energy. And if you have a look on our website, eonenergy.com/pamperedpets, there'll be lots and lots of information about hints and tips to conserve energy. As Chris said, it's really important that we're all as sustainable as we can be. So that's what we're really interested in doing. And that really was the point of this research. It's absolutely understanding what people do for their pets, but it's helping people understand how they can do it in an efficient, energy efficient way.
I think a lot of us are guilty of that, aren't we? Sometimes you sit and you think my house is nice and cosy. And I've been making a point lately of checking the temperature and thinking sometimes you keep the heating on when you really don't need it because it's plenty warm enough.
Yeah, absolutely. And as Chris said, if you install a Tardo smart thermostat on your radiators, you can control the heating from your phone. So when you're out and about, you can turn the heating down. It can then be turned up again just before you get home. So it's a much, much more efficient way of managing your home.
What about keeping lights on, Chris? Is that just more for our comfort? Because I've done that before. I used to babysit my friend's guide dog and I used to leave a light on at night in the living room because it was strange surroundings and things. But I thought, is that too much?
Yeah, I mean, I think that depends on the vision of that your animals have. So when my dog got older and got cataracts, they've just been removed successfully, I'm pleased to say. Then, you know, I did have the light on because it was more difficult for him to see and he would get up at night and need to find his water bowl. And so I did then start having a night light, not the main room light, but a night light next to the bowl so that he could find it at night. Cats are famed, of course, for having very good nocturnal vision. So again, unless the animal is elderly, I don't think that's necessary. People also leave their TVs and their radios on for company for the animals. Some pets respond to TVs and radios. They genuinely respond. We see this is the case. But many don't at all. My two never responded to the TV. So I think it's a case-by-case basis and to think about the personality of your pet. And if they don't respond to it, then they probably appreciate the peace and quiet, to be honest with you. Because most of these animals, I mean, certainly if we're talking about cats and dogs as companion animals, they're both predators. And so unless they're out hunting, providing for their young, maintaining a territory or looking for mates, they're sleeping. That's what they do. They conserve energy. So in most instances, if your dog's had a good walk and then you take it back to the house and go out, it will be sleeping. It will be just resting, not pacing around the house on its own sort of treadmill walk, trying to keep its steps up for the day.
Mind you, we're talking about cats and dogs mainly here, but I suppose this applies to other pets that we keep in the house, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. A lot of people have house rabbits and other animals. I mean, particularly the smaller rodents. If people are keeping hamsters and gerbils and those sorts of things, then normally their enclosures come with areas where they can make a nest and they're provided with bedding. So they are better with dealing with these sorts of things. But it's equally important that you don't leave those enclosures in a drafty spot or you don't leave them on the shelf in the sun because thermoregulation cuts both ways. Animals can equally overheat as they can be cold. So thinking about the constant health and well-being of your pet is something that which you have a duty to do. You are responsible for it. So a bit of research is required, if not, you know, from the book or from other keepers, then just from the almanac of common sense, basically.
And talking of that, I suppose also having a joint approach on, you know, discipline things with pets and with the way we treat them, I suppose having a joint approach on it if it's in a family is more sense to the animal as well, isn't it?
I think it is. I mean, I'm sure it's always best to be consistent with an animal as it is with a child. But I think the research, again, was quite interesting here because it told us that women are more likely to treat their pets with, you know, 3/4 of them allowing their pets onto the furniture compared to 2/3 of men. Now, I have to say in my house, that's completely different. It's my husband who allows the dog everywhere and I'm the disciplinarian. But yeah, you definitely do see people having different approaches to things. So
it's hard to resist, though.
Oh, certainly it is. But I'm afraid our dog sleeps not only on the bed, but in the bed. Frequently be found with their head on the pillow.
They take over, though, don't they? Is that a thing, though, Chris, because they're not realising their place sometimes?
No, I don't think so. I think that they're a social animal. And they enjoy spending time with us. Typically, you know, the social group would bed down, den down together at night. So they want to sleep on the bed with you. That's that, you know, they feel comfortable there. They feel secure. And of course, humans have been sleeping with their dogs for, you know, thousands of years, tens of thousands of years. And formerly, and in some parts of the world, they're still using those dogs as hot water bottles. And they measure how cold the night was by describing how many dogs they've slept with. So you can have a three-dog night. That's a very cold night. If you have three dogs to keep you warm, it must be freezing. So that sort of close contact with these animals is not new. That goes back thousands of years.
I mean, Belinda, you'll appreciate this. I used to, when I was babysitting Lucas the guide dog, he would come and stay for the weekend. And what I would do is I would leave him at night, and I would leave him, I'd put a little light on, and I would creep away so he didn't know I was going to bed. And then probably within about 5 minutes, I would hear the feet on the wooden floor. And he would stand like a toddler at the door, not wanting to get into trouble, but wanting to let me know that he was there. And of course, he ended up on the bed.
Absolutely.
And that was it, you know, and owning most of the bed.
This research has made me feel better, actually. I don't feel quite so, you know, as I'm doing the wrong thing.
Where can we get more information, actually, on the control of heating and things like that?
Yeah, it'd be great to have a look at our website. So eonenergy.com/pamperedpets. And we've got lots and lots of hints and tips there on how you can be more energy efficient, what you can do in your home, how you can get a smart meter installed. So have a look and contact us to get you some help.
And Chris, you're busy with Winter Watch just now?
Winter Watch is over. We're now looking forward to Spring Watch. In between, I'm doing a thing called Big Blue Live, and we're going out to Mexico.
Wow.
And we'll be putting our pulse on the finger of the world's oceans to see what excites us and what needs help.
You look forward to that?
Yeah. Very much so. Yeah, very much so. I like getting into the field and meeting new animals and learning about them. The greatest joy, actually, is learning about things which you know a little bit about, and then you meet someone who knows a lot more and they tell you straight away.
Sounds fantastic. Chris Packham and Belinda Moore from Aon, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio.